If you'll take your Bibles and go with me to Psalm 27, and our children through kindergarten can head to their time in the Word of God in the other part of the building. And I want to say welcome to our guests that are with us this morning. We have several visiting, and it's great to have the Scioto Hills team back to your home away from home. It's a privilege for us to be a church family, an extended church family for you guys, and we are blessed to just to be able to be together. I met some other visitors. I appreciate getting to meet Roy, and Laura's developing a ministry for our church with signing for those who are deaf. We appreciate that. And just if you're looking for a church family, we're privileged to be here serving this community. We're glad you're here. I want to read the passage that I've asked you to turn to, Psalm 27, which Warren Wiersbe says makes him think of the blind man that we're going to be looking at in John 9 in this morning's message. In John 9, Jesus healed a blind man. And in Psalm 27, I think we hear the testimony of this man. And I want to read Psalm 27 as we come to the word today of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in your anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Well, the Bible is full of drama. Of course, the story of the Bible is a dramatic story, the story of redemption, how Almighty God has chosen to work in this world to rescue a people for Himself. But when you read the story of redemption, the Bible, you see all kinds of stories of people being rescued and redeemed and brought into a relationship with the living God. And this morning we come to one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It's the true story of what Jesus did for a man who was born blind. How Jesus came into the life of that man and gave him sight, not once, but twice. For he was born with physical eyes that didn't work. And like all of us, he was born with spiritual eyes that didn't work. And Jesus worked in his life to restore him in both ways. The drama is filled with drama. This dramatic story has all sorts of scenes filled with drama. It starts with this interesting question the disciples asked in verse 2. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And that brought about the drama of the miracle itself, for this man was impacted by Jesus, who said first to the disciples it wasn't this man's sin or this parent's sin. It was that the work of God might be displayed in his life. He's not saying this to say that the man or his parents weren't sinners, but that's not why he's blind. And Jesus then proceeded to work in this man's life. the statement by Jesus, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. God sent his Son to earth to do a work, the work of rescuing sinners. That's what this is all about. God wants people to know him, and you're about to see God put his glory on display in this man's life and through this man's life. And so Jesus, the Christ, spits on the ground and makes some mud, and he puts that mud right on this man's eyes. And then he tells him, I want you to go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. And the man did. And instantly, eyes that never worked started seeing the beauty of God's creation. But that's not the end of the drama. That miracle created a chain of events that affected this man's neighbors and parents, all the way to the religious leaders of the country. When Jesus said this blindness was about him putting on display the works of God, he meant it, because as a result of this miracle, a lot of people were in this story confronted, and by application are being confronted even today in this room, with the glory of God. And quite frankly, then and perhaps today, some didn't know what to do with what they were seeing. And that gave occasion for the dramatic testimony you're about to hear from this man. It's one of my favorite lines. If this is one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite lines in all the Bible is the line that comes when this man is confronted with hostile interrogators and he responds and says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind and now I can see. I love that line. I love the conviction with which it comes from this man. And I think, and that's where I'm approaching this passage this morning, I think that man in that testimony shows us indeed the power of a testimony. The power of being able to say something that you know for sure, and you know it because it happened in your life. You say, what's a testimony? It is not complicated. We actually see three elements of a good testimony right here in the testimony of this man who was once blind. And so when you share your testimony, you can be sure of these three things that we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, when you share a testimony, you're just telling others what Jesus did for you. That's what it is. A testimony is you're telling others what Jesus did for you, as we see in verses 13 to 15 of this story. Now, our account begins in verse 13, and it says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Who is they? Probably it's the man's neighbors. Back in verse 8, this man is healed. He goes right home. His neighbors see him. And they ask, they sort of have a little debate, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, others said, no way. But the man speaks up and says, I am, it's me. And then he tells them how it happened. He said, Jesus, the man called Jesus, did this for me. Now that name caused quite a stir, because Jesus had just incensed the whole city of Jerusalem. At the end of chapter 8, which we looked at previously, Jesus had had an interaction with the leaders of Judaism there in Jerusalem, and they were confronting him about some things he said, and so in response, he says that he actually, before Abraham was, I am. He says he predated Abraham, and at that, the last verse of chapter 8 says, they picked up stones to kill him, and he slipped away, and he got away from them. Now in chapter 9, he heals this guy. And the guy starts telling his neighbors, Jesus did it. That name was not popular with a lot of people in the city. So I think the neighbors now have brought this news to the Pharisees, and they bring this man to the Pharisees. It's possible that the Pharisees are acting as sort of the representatives of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court. We see that in other places. For instance, back in John 1:24, there's a delegation from the Jews known as the Pharisees that are sent to check out Jesus. Because anytime you got somebody that's proclaiming to be, or at least there's rumors about him being, and in this case it was both, Jesus claiming and people talking about him being the Messiah, the powers that be want to check.